So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today we are talking about assessments you can use as part of your hiring process. Now, this is something that we've actually been looking at quite a few of these as something that we're actually trying to vet for which one we want to recommend our mastermind members use. And we haven't done so yet because there's a lot, right? You've got the Enneagram, you've got the DISC profile, you've got Berkman, you've got Colby, you've got Wunderlich. There's probably a whole bunch of other ones that Myers-Briggs, there's another one that I haven't even mentioned that are these, they call them like personality assessments. And I think Colby is, technically they say they're not a personality assessment, but it definitely looks at personality traits. And I've actually done basically all of it. I've done every single one I've mentioned. In the Army, I did a couple. They use the DISC and Myers-Briggs. We used Berkman with our own staff. We've used Colby with our own staff. I've done the Wunderlich assessment as well. And I think that these can be very beneficial, but also I think people put too much they put too much emphasis on these. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look these up, and I would say they're beneficial in a lot of ways. It is interesting. It's almost like somebody reading your horoscope. They're generalizable enough where you're like, oh my God, how do they know so much about me? But not detailed enough that it's really that specific to you, as well as people can change over time too. So these tests can change. So I don't even think you can't just like give these to a child. I think one of them you can, but they'll change. Your personality will change, and your interests will change. So when we look at these, though, how do they fit into a potential hiring process? And some of you maybe you actually took one of these as part of a hiring process. I actually had to do an entire Wunderlich assessment for a group that was interested in potentially acquiring our company, and it was very lengthy. And some of it's like IQ testing, but then it's a lot of personality stuff. And I mean, they obviously put a lot of faith into that assessment. But when we look at where these fit, I think they fit as a component piece of your hiring process, mainly to kind of help you reaffirm or to rule out your thoughts on somebody as a potential fit for your employee, as your employee, I should say. So for us, one thing that we looked at, and this is probably my favorite one, and now if I had to say the front runner for what we might try to standardize for the businesses that we work with within our mastermind, it's probably the Colby test. It's K-O-L-B-E is how it's spelled. And Colby is basically falls into four different buckets of your strengths, I guess you should say, or where you fall in these different areas. In fact, I'll pull mine up and I'll tell you exactly what they are. So there's four buckets. There's fact finder, there's follow through, there's quick start, and then there's implementer. So when we look at these, and there's a lot of education that goes into people actually being able to effectively leverage these with the team, I will tell you how we have actually used these. It's probably the simplest way to do it. So I've done this. Ashley has done this. We've had a number of people on our team at Athletes Potential do this. And now we're basically having everybody in PT Biz do this as well as we look at these different assessments. But what we're doing is we're basically finding people that we like for certain roles or are doing really well in certain roles. For instance, let's say for somebody that's running our front desk, we look at Ashley's Colby assessment and what she scored on that. And as we interview people or we talk to people about potential opportunities for a job, if they get to a stage where we look at pulling one of these assessments, we're going to look at comparing that person's assessment to Ashley's assessment because we know her skill set, it does really well in that role. So what we were looking for is somebody that's going to look somewhat similar to that person on their assessment, as well as the interview process that we're doing. So this just gives us a little bit more of an objective way of assessing somebody, and not just necessarily, oh, I like this person, or they interviewed well, or their referrals checked out. Like, you obviously want to do all of those things. This, I wouldn't say, carries as much weight as you actually having that interaction with that person and seeing how they work with your team and all of that. But if you're coming down to like two different people and you're sort of torn, which do you pick? I pick the one that's more similar to the person who already has shown me that they can do well in that role based on their assessment, as well as it helps me rule people out. For instance, if we look at these buckets, so for me, the one that I score the highest in is called the quick start bucket. I'm like an 8 out of 10 on that. And that means that I'm quick to start stuff. I am not very risk averse when it comes to, you know, starting projects. I'm creative. I don't mind getting out in front of people. I'm natural with sales, things like that. But I am not the most organized people. I will just sort of like piece things together. I don't read directions. Like literally, I will assemble stuff. I'll look at the directions and I'll be like, oh God, this is taking too long. I'm just gonna figure this out. And then I just get going. And then obviously it typically doesn't work out so well, right? I'll have like a half assembled bookshelf. And then guess what? Ashley loves directions. Then she comes in, she tells me all the things I did wrong. We disassemble it and then we put it back together. It's my kryptonite. I'm terrible at that. So imagine somebody that has my profile trying to run and manage a front desk that requires a massive amount of organization and follow through. That I would be a terrible person for that, right? Like I might be able to get them to say yes to coming in for a visit because I can communicate well and I'm pretty decent with sales. But when it comes to all the other component pieces of that, no chance. Like it would be awful. So I'm not the kind of person you want in charge of front desk or HR department or something like that. And you can see it on my assessment. It's interesting. So as a component piece of that, it can definitely help you rule out somebody. Like maybe that person's better in a different role based on what they're sort of naturally inclined to be interested in. Because that's what this is. It's just like, what are you interested in? What things do you find energy from doing and what things are draining for you? And you don't want to match somebody up with a role that is going to be like really just sort of, it's not natural for them to want to do, because that they're just going to be unhappy and they're not going to be a very productive employee in that position. So something to think about. I think that if we're looking at all of these, in my experience, I think the Enneagram is pretty interesting, but I think it's a bit more of like an art and a science. You know, it's really more of, I don't know if it's quite as scientific, but it is interesting. And I think from a relationship standpoint, that one's really good. Berkman is one that we've used. Berkman is difficult. You needed an implementer typically to come in and help facilitate that. But Berkman is all about mainly like communication style, like how you receive information, how you like to give information, and how if you could understand how your team receives information and how you give information, you can match it up better. That's great. That's probably the best thing we took away from it, but it's pretty expensive to get that thing set up and go. The DISC profile is, I thought was really interesting. We did that when I was in the military and they have, you know, your, I think that's like the red, yellow, blue, green, one. And it's funny, you start seeing people as those colors, or they can be shades of each together. Like an orange is like a yellow and a red. But I think that no matter what you do, whether it's any of these, adding this in as another layer onto your employment process, I think can be really beneficial as just another objective measure to kind of help you with this. So anyway, it's top of mind for me. That's why I'm bringing it up. And I think it's something that you can definitely look into if you're interested. Like I said, we're actually working on trying to figure out, you know, what's the one that we want to recommend as a hiring process, because we just have so many people. Like we have hundreds of businesses we're working with now within the mastermind. And that means that there's literally like hundreds of people being hired on a, you know, in a year, over 100 people will be hired for sure. Clinicians, administrative staff, other roles, things like that. So it's a lot of hires, and getting your hiring process dialed in and as good as possible is really important, because turnover will really crush your business if you just hire the wrong people. And sometimes you hire the right person, but then other things happen. You know, they decide they want to change careers. They decide that they, you know, they're going to move. They decide that they want to do their own thing. And it's hard to say if that's going to happen or not. Because people don't always tell you everything. And you can't blame them for that, right? I mean, they're going to do what they think is best for them. Everybody is selfish. I mean, you can say you're not, but if someone takes a picture of you and your friends and you see it, like, what's the first thing you do? You just look at yourself. Everybody does that. So it's not abnormal. You have to just be okay with that. So, you know, don't think that someone is necessarily, like, I don't know, being nefarious and going behind your back to go do something or whatever. Like, they're just going to do what's best for them. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So as part of your hiring process, the more objective you can be to go along with a really good, you know, interview process and vetting those people and getting recommendations from people that they know and they've worked with, you know, this is just an additional layer that can help make that as systematic and as effective as possible, because turnover in a service-based business is just the thing that slows you down the most. You lose, especially if it's just you and one other provider. Think about this for a second. If it's you, you have one other provider and you have an admin, 50% of your like workforce that's actually fulfilling is gone. What if 50% of Apple left all at one time? It would cripple that business. And in these small businesses, it's not uncommon to have turnover where you just have one other staff member and then something happens. They decide to take a different position. They decide that, you know, their spouse is moving or something like that, or changing careers. This happens. And I think even more so now, the landscape for employees is, if you keep somebody for 3 years, that's amazing. That's like keeping somebody for 10 years, you know, back in the 90s. You just have, everybody's a free agent and everybody is constantly looking for other opportunities. I see this over and over and over again. So you got to maintain a really great culture. Have a reason to stay. They have to have upward mobility, opportunities to improve and grow within the company. Otherwise they leave, right? No matter what your hiring process is, you might have hired the right person, but then you handled them the wrong way. So keep that in mind too. It's not all about the hiring process. It's about what happens afterward as well. This is just an example of some things we're looking at to help dial that in a little bit better. So hopefully this little nugget we're sharing helps. I try to share stuff that we're learning from these, you know, 225 businesses that we're actively working with within the mastermind. We just have a lot of pooled information and data and resources. And it's just, honestly, I think it's the biggest benefit of that community is just how many people there are, how much information, you know, we get from that and how well we can share that across, you know, across all those other businesses. It's almost like a franchise without actually owning any of the businesses that we work with. They're all theirs. Like they, you know, that's not our businesses. We don't have a chunk of them. You know, it's a very unique way of going about it, I believe. But I think the most fair way for the business owners but yet we get the benefit of that shared information and willingness to see best practices in real time and adapt, ahead of the curve typically. So this is something that we're working on. I hope this is helpful for you. Look at your hiring process. If it's not so great and you need some help, I think maybe you should think about reaching out to us. We definitely work with a lot of practices successfully, have so for years and years. And you know, if you're trying to figure all this out on your own, like I literally just named like six freaking assessments you can add in. Like think how much time you're going to spend just even looking these up and trying to figure out what's the right one for you, as well as what does this mean? You know, reading the damn tea leaves of these assessments and how it fits in a hiring process. Like just think about the time and effort that's going to take you versus our entire team trying to figure this out so they can help our staff. And that's just a small component piece of the things that they have to work on. So if you're trying to figure it out on your own, like, I mean, I get it. You can do it. It's just a slower way to go. There's no doubt about that. And if something like this is appealing to what you're doing, definitely go to physicaltherapybiz.com. Check out what we're doing with the mastermind. I mean, this is more of a higher level thing. If you're just getting started, don't worry about any of these assessments. You just got to learn how to market and sell. You know, and there's plenty of resources we have for you on that, with especially something like our Clinical Rainmaker program, which is really designed to get people up and running in as short as 3 months, and hopefully get you to a point where you can go full time within your own business, or at least have an awesome side hustle and make that decision within a short period of time after that. But you know, if you're figuring it out on your own, you know, I think it's a slow way. Honestly, I'm very biased, no doubt. But I've just seen too many people that we've had conversations with, and we follow up with them a year later after they've decided that they're just going to kind of figure it out on their own, and they're in the same damn place. They're in the same spot, and they're still frustrated. They've wasted an entire year. They've made a ton of mistakes that they didn't have to make. And if you really added up all the hours and the money that they've wasted, like it's just, it would have been so much cheaper if they just would have gotten help. Not to mention the stress they would have avoided and the challenges that maybe they would have eliminated within some of the other parts of their life that the business drags into it. So anyway, guys, I hope you like this one. As always, thank you so much for listening and we'll catch you next week. What's up, PT entrepreneurs? We have a new exciting challenge for you guys. It's our 5-day PT Biz part-time to full-time challenge where we help you get crystal clear on how to actually go from a side hustle to a full-time clinic. Even if you haven't started yet, this is a great way to get yourself organized in preparation for eventually going full-time into your business. So we actually help you get crystal clear on how much money you're actually going to need to replace with your business to be able to make a lateral transfer, how many people you're actually going to need to see based on what you should be charging. We're going to tell you 3 different strategies you can take to go from part-time to full-time, and you get to pick the one that seems like the best fit for you for your current situation. We even show you all the sales and marketing systems that we teach within our mastermind for people that are scaling to multiple clinicians, you know, past themselves, that you need to have in your business to be able to go full-time. And the last thing is we help you create a 1-page business plan. This is a plan that's going to help you get very clear on exactly what you need to do and drive action. That's what this is all about. We want you to win. We want you to take action. And in order to do so, you have to get really clear on what you need to do next. So go to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge. Get signed up for the challenge today. It's totally free. We think this is going to be a game changer for you and are excited to go through it. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT entrepreneur. And we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.